All right, amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13. We've been in it already. We're going to get in it a couple of more 3 weeks. I know it's Christmas time. I'll probably be using some of the traditional verses this morning in the message, but right now we're going to stick right in with Revelation. And this is a great, great chapter. All the chapters are, but this one has got so much information in it. We'll not be able to cover it all, not that we know it all, we don't, but truth of the matter is it is really loaded, and if there's one chapter in the book that's shedding light right now on what's going on in the world, it would be this chapter right here. And right under our nose, so to speak, right in front of our eyes, a lot of changes is happening fast worldwide. And we've seen the big changes in America just recently, and we don't know the half of it yet. There's going to be some real changes coming. And we that know the Bible a little bit, we know what's predicted to happen. We know what is projected, the scenario we're kind of watching fall in place. And I guess it's sort of like if you went to a professional play or something, and they gave you a program, and you're following that program, and you know what's coming next and what's coming next. That's sort of what the Bible is doing for us as it speaks to the future. And I've always loved prophecy. After I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible till I got saved and began to study it. And I did love world history when I was in school. I didn't necessarily love the test. I didn't necessarily love some of the way it was done, but I loved to read the history. And I remember getting in trouble one time with a teacher. Didn't anybody ever have a teacher like this? Here was her attitude. Yes, I got you for this class, but I also have you for study hall. So when you're in study hall, you study what I gave you in class. It don't matter, I had five or six other classes too. I wanted to do some of that in study hall. She got me in big trouble because I was reading history when I was supposed to be reading her stuff. I still remember that. She was a good lady, truthfully, but she might have inherited that. Her name was Hatfield. I don't know where she come from, where it was Hatfield more qualified or not, but brother, you didn't cross that lady. She'd get you quick. But truth is, studying history has helped me to know a little bit later as I studied the Bible. Somebody said that history, spell it out, is H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, his story. Think about that. It is a story that God gives us all the way through the Word, and it's his story in the sense what God yet has planned to do with his Son on planet Earth. Amen. Chapter 13 of Revelation, we have the beast. The beasts are hard to track and keep track of. This chapter, and I want to say this to you if you're really interested in knowing a little more, I may read some of it myself, but if you would go to Daniel chapter 7 and study that and run it parallel with this chapter, especially when it comes to the beast that recognizes the world's governments and how they're going to shape up in the end. And it's interesting that God calls man's government beast, isn't it? But the leaders and the government is called beast. Now, beast is a word that don't bother us much today. But in the old days, there was a time that man had to protect himself from some of the wild beasts of the land. They say Nimrod made his great reputation on being a great mighty hunter before the Lord, and part of it was the people loved him because he went out and killed the wild beasts. In parts of the country today, that is still a problem. There's still places where they don't have guns or are not allowed to have guns, where a marauding lion or other beast can come in and take a child or something else and get by with it pretty regular. You see some of that on TV. It's a horrible thing to think about it. I know a story of a man went over there where a lion was continually coming to the village. They say after they get old enough they can't take down a zebra or a buffalo or something, they come after the humans sometimes and the weaker prey. And this fellow went over there to try to stop this kill this lion from continuing to raid this village. And the so-called government that they had, he had to get all permitted, pay a pile of money to bring his gun in, and then they only allowed him three bullets. He did get the lion, but I thought, boy, that is something. That's what could happen in America if we're not careful. We got different kind of beasts now. They're two-legged and more evil than the jungle beasts, that's for sure. But terrible, terrible thing. But the beast has a bad thought to it in the sense, well, the government act as a beast quite often. And leaders sometimes act as beasts, and that's certainly part of history. But John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea. This got into this last week, 13 verse 1. Probably Mediterranean Sea. He describes the beast. Now, Daniel goes through these same beasts that he saw. I talked to you last week about these early verses here in Revelation 13. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And I parked on that a little bit, because the leopard is a picture and a type of the beast yet to come, who is the theme, much of the theme of chapter 13, and that's the Antichrist. He is a ruler, and this cosmopolitan world that we're trying to put together, this one world kingdom, globalism. President Trump spoke much against globalism. That's one of the reasons he was hated so bad. Because when he got in, globalism was on a slide downhill, gaining all the time, and he interrupted it. And it's back now. It'll go. You just watch the next 6 months and see what I'm telling you. Globalism is the Antichrist plan to put the one world kingdom together. One world government, one world church or religion. That's the plan ahead. You watch for it and see if you don't see this stuff falling together. And it's an interesting thing, but the leopard is a cosmopolitan animal. It's described here with the lion and the bear. They have distinctions, but the leopard in comparison to a lion and a bear, as you study the animals. By the way, they say the leopard, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast in this chapter, so much we've got to get to yet. They say the leopard has a unique thing among the animals that the big hunters tell us out in the jungle, that they can tell when a leopard is around, because he'll come up to a tree and he marks it with his claws. He's identified with being one of the beasts that will mark his territory by clawing out of the bark of the tree. Well, isn't it interesting that in the book of Revelation, he's going to be identified with a mark, the mark of the Antichrist. The leopard is a cosmopolitan beast in the sense that it fits every race, and all the globalism kingdom coming together puts all the races together, and the leopard fits that. If you start with the belly of the leopard, he's white. If you start with his outside coat, it's a yellowish brown, representing, as we think about basically the three races today, you got the white, the Asiatics, or Oriental folks with a little bit more color, a little more brown, and then finally you have the black race of folks that is identified with the spots on the leopard. And so he becomes a cosmopolitan beast. He can represent every race and represent the one world globalism that is coming in. And he has the mark, and he's identifies. Now, this beast was like unto a leopard, has feet like a bear. We think about Russia in particular. That's the animal that represents them. The mouth of a lion. That speaks of England, the English, the mouth of the lion. You go to England and you find the statues of the lions on the public buildings and parks and everywhere. That's been a mark of England through history. And, of course, then you have the one that gives power, and that is the dragon. We've already identified him in chapter 12. The dragon is the devil, it says, in chapter 12.
So you have all this put together in pictures. You can't put enough words to explain all I just said is represented. The picture is worth more than 1,000 words. It's worth many, many thousand words often. And so the book of Revelation has symbolism, is it, in it, where you get the picture of things. We still, in our common talk today, we're kind of trying to get somebody to understand something, and they're going back and forth. And you might say, don't you get the big picture? Don't you see the picture? The picture helps sometimes. How many of you men have to put something together your wife bought, and you tried it and it didn't work, now you finally got to read the instructions? Have you ever been there? I've been there a lot. I'm thankful for pictures sometimes, aren't you? Yeah. And God is understanding that with us. He's trying to picture something. He's trying to get it. He says it, but he also gives us a picture. And so it is helpful, very helpful to us. A time is coming when this beast rises out of the sea, this final beast, and is going to be, and we have the pictures in the book of Daniel. We have the colossus of the big image that the king saw, from the head of gold, which is Babylon, all the way down to the feet mixed with iron and clay. An age where we are today, a diversified age made out of iron and clay, which means they don't work together, they don't stick. And it's in that age that we're looking for the stone that's cut out of the mountain, according to Daniel, a stone cut out without hands, is going and come down and smite the image on the feet and bring the whole thing down. Now, you got to understand that image is a picture of world governments. From Babylon right on to what is called the European Union today, what is called the United States today, it's a uniting. But just like we are divided in America over issues we ought to be divided over. Anybody that's on the wrong side of these issues is just wrong. You want to kill the babies, you're wrong. You want to glorify the homosexuals, you're wrong. No middle ground on that. So we are divided. Some things we ought to be divided on. Amen? But do you know there's a crowd, according to the last election, is bigger than we are, that's just as fervent for doing evil as we are for doing good? You understand what I just said? Now, that's kind of hard for us to get a hold of. The way I was raised, and maybe you were raised, we had a clear-cut right and wrong, didn't we? Well, that's not clear anymore. And the Bible predicted that. The Bible said the day had come, they'd call evil good and good evil. We're there. I've been there a long time. And so we are divided. It's in this time of division that the Lord Jesus has to come back. He's described as a stone cut out without hands, cut out of the mountain without hands, that's going to smite the image of government on its feet and bring the whole thing down. And don't you know right now, as you keep up with things, there is no man-made answer right now. Man's not going to solve his own problems. It's going to take Jesus to come back and solve them. And yes, we want him to come. In the meantime, we're watching this thing that the Bible says will come together. We're watching it as it comes together. So as we move down through these beasts, it says, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this final beast here will be built through all the others. It'll have all the parts of the others, and the power will come from the devil, the dragon, and his authority. And then it says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. In all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this is a puzzle. I used to think, even after I got saved, got saved in about 1957, so that's been a while. And I used to hear preachers preach some of this stuff, and I'd think, how can people ever accept that? I mean, we wouldn't let that happen. We wouldn't vote that in. Boy, do I look at it different now. It's just built up and fulfilled to the letter. And it is being accepted. That's the hardest part for me. I know you can't pay the polls too much attention, but sometimes they'll ask some questions that blow my mind. They'll say, professing Christians, 52% say they prefer abortion. I don't believe that. But that any of them would. The murder of the babies, that blows my mind. That's a change in human nature that has to be from the devil to come along and accept some of the stuff. Actually letting babies be born outside the body before they kill them. That's true right now in America. In America. That takes a satanic mindset for stuff like that. That's not normal to the average human being. That's not normal to an animal. Truth is. So anyway, I don't get off on that except to say we're seeing things come now that we never would have expected to see before. And it says here, and they worship the dragon, verse 4. Do you know when somebody worships a false idol, they're worshiping the power behind it. The power behind it's the devil. Find that all the way through the Bible where Israel got in trouble for worshiping idols. Do not be shocked, folks, sometimes when something supernatural happens, you can't explain, something invisible to you did it. Don't always assume that has to be of God. It can also be of the devil. He also has power to do some things. I've seen some things. I've had some experience with demon-possessed people and things I've had to deal with. And I, even though I didn't see the devil face to face, I saw what he was doing and saw what he wanted to do. And it's sad today, but too many folks, that's why they'll go to a fortune teller or something else and they'll say, well, that come to pass. Well, if it did, who done it? Was it of God or was it of the devil? You better, you know, when God condemns that stuff, it tells you it wasn't of him. But anyway, here we're seeing this develop. Now I want you to notice in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And the result of it says here, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now I'm going to depart here just a little bit. If we was in college, they'd say, well, he's chasing a rabbit there, but sometimes the rabbit chase is the most interesting part. I want you to go with me to the book of Zechariah, and I'm going to help you find it. Go to the gap between your Old Testament and New Testament. The last book, of course, of the Old Testament is Malachi. So we'll move to Malachi, and we'll keep moving back left till we hit Zechariah. Malachi and then Zechariah. The reason I'm showing you this, I want you to think with me on something so you'd be watching for it. We know, according to the Bible, that the Antichrist system is moving in fast. It's with us today. It's growing. When we pulled out of some of the globalistic things that we did, like the Paris Accords and the nuclear treaty with Iran and some of this, we were throwing a monkey wrench into the globalistic plans. We were going back to a statement you heard over and over from the president, America first. America first. Well, that is a hated phrase among the wrong side. And messing up the globalistic plans. Now, there's going to be a ruler, a leader. We know him as the Antichrist. He's got several names in the Bible. We'll see here if I go to it in book of Daniel. Probably won't get to it today. But if I go to it in chapter 7 of Daniel, he'll be called the little horn. He's called by the apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he's called the man of sin. He's also called by John the Antichrist. And the word Antichrist, the word anti means against, but it can also mean counterfeit. So he's a counterfeit Christ, as well as anti what Christ would stand for. Now, we're going to trace this guy just a little bit. What are we to be watching for? Well, we're watching for a fellow that'll come in, probably voted in on a peace plan, according to Revelation 6, be accepted, and He'll come in as the ruler, and it says the whole world is going to worship him. So that means all the so-called nations pretty much got to get together and agree. I think there may be some folks that won't, but we'll deal with that some other time. Basically, it's talking about the whole world worshiping this guy. Now, how are we going to know him? Well, he's got a name in the Bible. He's talked about and predicted by other prophets in the Bible. And while he's called the man of sin and the little horn in Daniel, and he's actually called the Assyrian in a couple of places in the Bible. It's quite interesting. One of the verses we'll hear, maybe I may even use this morning in Christmas time, is about the little town of Bethlehem where Christ was born. But if you read the rest of that fifth chapter there, of Micah, you'll find out that it goes on to tell what Christ is going to do, the one that is going to be born in Bethlehem, what he is going to do. And part of what he's going to do is take over the kingdoms of the world, defeat the Antichrist. And if you know the scenario and you know the plan, as you read the rest of that prediction about Christ being born in Bethlehem, it goes on down to tell you what he's going to do. But the Antichrist is going to be identifiable. I ask you to go now to Zechariah chapter 11. Chapter 11. I'm just going to cherry pick a verse or two, but the subject here will identify. It's prophetical statements. He's called in verse 15 of chapter 11 of Zechariah the foolish shepherd. Foolish shepherd. He says, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still." Anybody that's ever had to deal with animals, cows, sheep, herds, when an animal stands still, it's sick. You know that? It's got to have some tension or it's going to die. So this idle shepherd won't take care of the flock. He's going to fleece the flock. And so what it says, "But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces." Now here's what God says to him. Now let's get the picture. A shepherd generally is thought about in a religious sense. Often we are referred to as preachers as being the under shepherd of the flock and that sort of thing. And good shepherd, we think of Jesus as being the good shepherd. But this is an idol shepherd. People do worship him, but at the same time, he doesn't treat them right. And he, like I say, instead of taking care of the lambs, he fleeces them, he eats them, he destroys them. So it says, here's what God has to say to him in verse 17 now of chapter 11. "Woe to the idol shepherd." God said, "The shepherd that does wrong, that leaveth the flock, woe to him." Now here's the woe. "The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." Now let's think on this just a little bit. Somebody's going to show up as a power, as a leader. He's called the idle shepherd. He's going to mistreat the people. He's going to take his own gain from them. And yet he's going to have the power. According to Revelation, the whole world is going to worship him. He's going to be putting the one world religion along with his one world government together and come upon the scene. And do you know the cry now? I can show it to you in writing and legal documents from the United Nations and other places right now. Some of our own leaders, so-called, in America have said that we've got to give up our sovereignty and join the global government. They're teaching and preaching that right now in our own Washington, D.C. up there. That's been going on for a long time. That's part of the plan. You can go to the building, the UN building, and look at the inscription that's carved in the block outside, the headstone. And they take a verse out of Isaiah, and they quote only part of it, trying to use Bible authority for putting the one world government together. Well, they misquote it and misapply it. But that's been the plan for a long, long time. Coming back to Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, watch your TV programs for this. Watch your news. Watch your circumstances. Watch what happens in America and the world. It's real easy for us Americans to think we're the only ones. Now, it is true. The world has pretty well followed America for a long time. But this leader is going to be a world leader. He may not come from America. He may be living now. I think he is. It could be some place in Europe. Could be America. Or could be he's going to land on a spaceship just to show he's somebody special. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit. Don't be shocked at anything that may come in these next short few years if we have that long. Back again. How are we going to identify him? Here he is. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword. Now, the sword is comprehensive in the Bible. It can be represented in any act of violence that's killed. Killed with a sword can be killed with a gun. Killed with a club. In other words, violent. He didn't die in bed. He died with a sword. The sword is symbolic. The sword shall be on his arm. So did he get shot with a gun? Did he get cut with a sword? And by the way, the sword is still a favorite weapon much across this world. In the world of Muslims and Islam and all that, they still chop your head off with a sword. The sword shall be upon his arm. So he's going to get wounded in his arm. Upon his right eye, apparently as a result of that same sword, we'd say, his arm shall be clean dried up. So the wound is going to cause that arm to be useless. It's going to dry up. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened, not partially, but out. Now, this is the idle shepherd. This is the Antichrist. This is the one that will come to power. Is this an assassination attempt? Very likely is. But he lives through it. But now the book of Revelation chapter 13 said he had a deadly wound. But the amazing thing was he healed from it. And that would be the amazing thing, wouldn't it? You could hear the news tonight. So-and-so's had an assassination attempt. Is he going to live? He does live, and he comes out with a blind eye, and he comes out with a crippled arm. That could happen so quick you wouldn't believe it. But then the amazing thing is that the world, in sympathy for him, begins to worshiping. Maybe it's because he seemed to be supernaturally healed. Who knows? I said I'm opening up a can of worms between Revelation 13 and Daniel 7. I cannot begin to cover all the implications of it in one or two lessons, but we'll keep working on it. But it is a known fact among our own politicians. They say that Lyndon Johnson was pretty much unknown. He was out of Texas. He was pretty much unknown when he was sent to Congress, but then of all things, as a fairly young man, he had a heart attack. That put him on the front page of all the papers and all the news, and that not only did he survive the heart attack, but it made him so well known and so popular that later on, after Kennedy was assassinated, Johnson became president. It's amazing how the masses work, isn't it? How that public opinion can be swayed over so little and sometimes over what's even wrong. But that sort of thing. So there's a fellow coming. When he shows up, there'll probably be an assassination attempt. He will lose an eye and he'll get a crippled arm. Now it says his right eye. Isn't that what it says there? His right eye. Oh, and then which arm is it? That's only speculation. If I were speculating, I'd say it was his left arm. So I've always been a little bit suspicious of any leader that was left-handed. That's just me. I can't give you no proof. My suspicions come because the old-fashioned warrior held his shield in his left hand, and his right eye was the eye he had to see around the shield to fight the enemy. If he was going to be incapacitated, if he lost that arm and he lost that eye, he was no longer able to fight. He was handicapped. And that's just Mickey Carter, first verse, second chapter. I'm just playing with you now. I got some theories that I don't always preach for fact. But truth is, this scene is unfolding all over the world right now. If there's ever a time God's people ought to be excited, because if we're seeing this unfold, we believe the Bible teaches we're going to get caught out when the trumpet sounds before all this materializes. Amen? All right, my time is up.